Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are going to be in the book of Job today. So if you find the Psalms somewhere near the middle of the Bible, turn left and find Job right before Psalms. I will pray, read through these two chapters, Job 35 and 36, make some devotional thoughts, some application at the end, and then pray. And I ask you to do the same as we look at God's word this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Job. For the encouragement and challenge that it can be in my life. Help me this morning to understand what this is about, Father, and what it has to do with me and my relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Job 35. Then Elihu said, "Do you think this is just? You say, 'I am in the right, not God.' Yet you ask him, 'What profit is it to me, and what do I gain by not sinning?' I would like to reply to you and to your friends with you. Look up at the heavens and see. Gaze at the clouds so high above you. If you sin, how does that affect him? If your sins are many, what does that do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give to him, or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness only affects humans like yourself, and your righteousness only other people. People cry out under a load of oppression. They plead for relief from the arm of the powerful. But no one says, 'Where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than he teaches the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds in the sky?' He does not answer when people cry out because of the arrogance of the wicked. Indeed, God does not listen to their empty plea. The Almighty pays no attention to it. How much less then will he listen when you say that you do not see him, that your case is before him and you must wait for him? And further, that his anger never punishes, and he does not take the least notice of wickedness." So Job opens his mouth with empty talk. Without knowledge, he multiplies words. This has got to be rough. That's the end of chapter 35. Rough for Job to listen to. because all of these friends, all of these who have dialogued with Job, have said some very biblical things about God. And about our sinfulness before him. No doubt about that. In fact, it goes very well with the law, I would say, and the way we often look at blessing and consequences, cursing, and from God to those who disobey. And questioning God, you know, is out of the question, so to speak. But we need to remember what this is. And this, as Job is crying out to God, lamenting, God has not yet spoken about this. He will. He did say, you know, in the beginning that Job's heart was pure. Job has obviously looked at his own heart and has not known of anything he needs to confess. He's crying out before God in a way that seems to be acceptable to God, especially in the Psalms. And so although Elihu here is saying some true things, he's also making some very terrible accusations against Job without knowing his heart, and saying things about Job, saying things about God, which is very dangerous. And we'll find out more about that at the end of Job. Chapter 36, Elihu continued, "Bear with me a little longer and I will show you that there is more to be said in God's behalf. I get my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe justice to my maker. Be assured that my words are not false. One who has perfect knowledge is with you. God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty and firm in his purpose. He does not keep the wicked alive, but gives the afflicted their rights. He does not take his eye off the righteous. He enthrones them with kings and exalts them forever. But if people are bound in chains, held fast by cords of affliction, he tells them what they have done, that they have sinned arrogantly." Okay, so again, he's making some major assumptions here. First of all, that he speaks for God, that he knows God's mind and heart in all matters, and that every time that there is something bad that happens, it's because of sin. And that's the mistake that all the friends have been making. Verse 10, "He makes them listen to correction and commands them to repent of their evil. If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment." This is very Proverbs-like. It's very poetic-like. It's in the area of poetry, so we need to treat it as such. Verse 12, but if they do not listen, they will perish by the sword and die without knowledge. The godless in heart harbor resentment. Even when he fetters them, they do not cry for help. They die in their youth among male prostitutes of the shrines. But those who suffer, he delivers in their suffering. He speaks to them in their affliction. He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place, free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. But now you are laden with the judgment due to the wicked. Judgment and justice have taken hold of you. Be careful that no one entices you by riches. Do not let a large bribe turn you aside. Would your wealth or even all your mighty efforts sustain you so you would not be in distress? Do not long for the night to drag people away from their homes. Beware of turning to evil, which you seem to prefer to affliction. Okay. God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? Who has prescribed his ways for him or said to him, you have done wrong? Very biblical stuff here. Verse 24, remember to extol his work, which people have praised in song. All humanity has seen it. Mortals gaze on it from afar. How great is God beyond our understanding? The number of his years is past finding out. He draws up the drops of water, which distill as rain to the streams. The clouds pour down their moisture and abundant showers fall on mankind. Who can understand how he spreads out the clouds, how he thunders from his pavilion? See how he scatters his lightning about him, bathing the depths of the sea. This is the way he governs the nations and provides food in abundance. He fills his hands with lightning and commands it to strike its mark. His thunder announces the coming storm. Even the cattle make known its approach. That's the end of chapter 36 and the end of our reading for today. All right, so what do I focus on? What do I take away from this? I guess the first thing is about God. The things that Elihu is saying about God, for the most part, are true. He is above all of us. He is holy. He desires holiness. He brings blessing on the righteous and curses the wicked. I mean, those are biblical themes, especially in the Old Testament, and those things are true. Who can tell God what to do? Who can fight against him? Because that's what they think Job is doing, arguing against God, thinking he knows better than God. So there are many things here true about God and his justice and his righteousness and his holiness. And I should focus on that. But he also speaks some things I don't think are true about God, at least in terms of how God is going here. He's making a lot of presumptions, a lot of assumptions. And that's dangerous, as I'll find out later, when you try to say this is the reason this is happening to you. And so I think one thing for me to take away is to remember I can't do that for anybody. I need to seek what's going on in my life and what God might be trying to teach me and do. I need to help others do the same. But to make any kind of judgments about why God is allowing something or doing something, like for example, in these days of COVID-19, that's a very dangerous thing. And then also just the discouragement, the disheartening dialogue here where they're speaking against Job in this way, where they're not really listening and not really helping and not giving the full truth of biblical context. Of course, they didn't have much scripture at that point. But to be able to see the whole picture and to continue to encourage and strengthen. So that's my takeaway. Yes, this is who God is. But thankfulness that God deals with me in his own way. A wisdom that I need to recognize what God is doing in my life and others' lives. And just to spend time encouraging rather than accusing other people. So what is it that you're going to take away from this today? Father, thank you for this reading in Job. Not very long today, but Lord, as we continue in these dialogues and I read these, some of this makes me just praise you because some of your character is brought out clearly here. But I'm also grieved that your character is not fully brought out here and the accusations against one that you said had a pure heart in Job is despicable. And it grieves me. And I know I have been grieved when I have felt like people have accused me. And yet, Father, I know it's important to be able to live in humble confession before you. So I want to do that today, Father. I also want to be very careful to make any kind of judgments about what's going on with COVID-19 or about why this is here or about what you're doing in other people's lives, because I don't really know. If I can get to know them, Father, and counsel with them, then, Father, I can maybe help them. Help me to be an encourager, not an accuser. Father, help me to do that through this week in honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.